Welcome to another broadcast of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. Today we are going to look at the doctrine in the Bible, the great doctrine of Messiah, or what is called Christology. Christology. The doctrine of Messiah, which in some respects is a corollary to our earlier study called The Marvelous Messiah, another extensive study on messianic prophecy in the Bible. And in that series of biblical teachings, we did look at the deity of Messiah, which we'll be looking at today. But before we get into this all-important subject, let us conclude what we said in the prior lesson, the reasons for the incarnation. And I want to say, lastly, the reason for God becoming a man was to finalize, complete, consummate the plan of redemption at Messiah's second coming. The first coming of Messiah by the incarnation was but preparatory for his second coming. The first coming dealt with Messiah's dying to atone for sin, his conquering of death, which the power of sin once held but has now been divested of its power through the risen Messiah. In the second coming, the Lord will in the end put an end to all death, and his people will be raised like he was raised from the dead. In the first coming of Messiah, we were saved from the guilt and penalty of sin, and when Messiah returns at the second coming, we will be totally delivered and redeemed from the power and presence of sin. So the second coming of Messiah completes that which began in Messiah's first coming. Each is incomplete without the other. And again, the scriptures that reflect this, Daniel 9, 24 through 27, the 70 weeks of years, the great prophecy there in Daniel 9, Romans 8, 18 through 25, Hebrews 9, 27 and 28, Matthew 24, 1 Corinthians 15, 25 through 28, and 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 58, 59, I believe. And then 1 Thessalonians 4, 14, 4, 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 14 through 18, and Revelation chapters 1 through 22. So the first coming completed the redemption of man. By the way, that was 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 58. There is no verse 59. Sorry about that. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 through 58. All of those passages relate how the first coming is preparatory and paves the way for the second coming of Messiah. Now let's turn to one of the most important doctrines in all of Scripture, one on which one must believe to be saved, to be redeemed, and that would be the deity of Messiah, the deity of Jesus Christ. In the early church, there were two main heresies. As we noted earlier, as we discussed earlier, there were heresies concerning the true humanity of Christ, and also there were heresies that concerned the deity of Jesus Christ. These two major doctrines in biblical Christology were present within, the first six centuries of the church, and when you look at them all, you will see that there were more heresies in denial of Christ's deity than his real humanity. And I think, as we've seen before here, the deity and humanity of Messiah must be held in delicate, careful balance, as we see in the New Testament, lest heresy emerge. So then it stands to reason that the Bible does reveal what God... Oh, excuse me. Didn't mean to yawn there. Didn't get much sleep last night. Anyway, the Bible reveals what God is and what He does. That would be summed up in His divine attributes that are described and ascribed to God in Scripture. So then it stands to reason that if Jesus Christ, the man Jesus Christ, was indeed God in the flesh, He then is equal with God, and therefore, being in equality with God, He would share in the same attributes that are ascribed to God in Holy Scripture. And guess what? We see that down the line. We see that. Whatever God is and does, Jesus as God in the flesh does the same thing. He shares in the same attributes of God in that He is God. To deny the deity of Messiah is to fall under the spirit and influence of Antichrist. 1 John 4:1-4 tells us that the spirit of Antichrist denies that Jesus the Messiah has come in the flesh. Plain and simple. Now, that's a lot to say there. The Apostle John is saying quite a lot there. What he means is that if you deny that Jesus was and is a historical person, was and is a man, was and is God Almighty in the flesh, you are of the Antichrist. So the liberal churches, the cults, and the non-Christian world religions that deny the deity of Christ all share in the same spirit of Antichrist, because they all mutually deny Jesus is the eternal God in the flesh. Some of these cults and non-Christian world religions will say He is a part of the divine, of what we can become. That's typically taught in the New Age movements and in more liberal denominations in Christendom. Or others flat out deny that Jesus was God. They will say he was a liar, a blasphemer, or the disciples made Him into a god. Whatever the case may be, to deny the deity of Messiah Jesus is to be under the influence and dominion of the spirit of Antichrist. Plain and simple. It is a non-negotiable doctrine to believe for salvation. The first thing you want to do when going to a church or perhaps looking at a ministry, see what their Christology is. See what their doctrine of Jesus Christ is. And if there is nothing in there about the deity of Christ, then by omission you should be concerned. If there is a denial, then you know they are not coming from a biblically orthodox view. Because the Scriptures clearly tell us that Jesus is God and therefore shares the same attributes as the God of the Bible. Let's first look at one major attribute that's true of no other human being, and that is the eternality of the Son of God, the eternality of Messiah Jesus. He possessed eternity of being. Not only that, being the Son of God and the second person of the Trinity, Jesus also had what we call the eternal sonship within the eternal Godhead. Jesus was not the Son of God when He was born a man. He was the Son of God before. He existed as God the Son before He became a man. And therefore, the names that God bears, so does God the Father bears, so does the Son. One of the names expressing the eternality of the God of the Bible is what God told Moses. In Exodus 3:14, He told Moses, "I am that I am." Not "I was," "I will be," or "I want to be." It, "I am." That is God. He's the eternal, existent One. The "I am" expresses eternity of being. And Jesus knew, as God the Son, that he too pre-existed in eternity past with the Father and came down from heaven. There are scores of scriptures that highlight the fact that Jesus is the eternal God. Quickly, we won't be able to look at them all, but quickly we'll cite them for you if you're taking notes. John 1, 1 through 3, Proverbs 30, verse 4, Romans 1, 20, John 17, 3 through 5. Jesus there prays to God the Father that he would give him the glory that he had with the Father before the world began. So clearly Jesus existed as a person, as a divine being with God before the universe and the earth was created. Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah 9:6 through 9, Revelation 1 verses 8 through 11, John 6:33, and let us not forget Micah 5:2, the king that would come forth from Bethlehem, his activity was from eternity. And Exodus 3:14 I mentioned, but let us mention that in connection with what Jesus said of himself in John 8:56 verses 56 through 58. There, as you know, Jesus claims to be the same I am eternal God as God identified himself with the same title to Moses from the burning bush. The crowd around Jesus in John 8, when he said this, when Jesus said, before Abraham existed, I am, they knew exactly what he was claiming to be. And therefore they took up stones to stone him because he, in their view, was a mere man claiming to be God. So there is no mistake that Jesus did, in the New Testament, claim to be God. This wasn't something that was imputed to him or by others. It wasn't something people put in his mouth. He came from him. His claim to be God came from his own spoken word. So Jesus, if he is God, then will have existed always. And he affirms this by claiming the same title for Yahweh God in the Old Testament in being the great I Am. The eternity of being for God also connects and relates to God's pre-existence. As this applies to the incarnation of Jesus the Messiah, God in the flesh, Jesus existed as a person before he became a man. The Lord Jesus affirmed his own pre-existence. That is, he knew that he existed in intimate association, John says, in the bosom of the Father, before Jesus came to earth. So in order to have eternity of being, this would naturally involve pre-existence of being. Pre-existence of being. And we see this revealed in the scriptures by Jesus and those associated with the Lord Jesus. Jesus existed before he was born of the Virgin Mary. Again, John 1, 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And then you jump down to verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus was God. He wasn't a God, as the Jehovah's Witnesses, as the pernicious mistranslation of the Jehovah's Witnesses New World Translation claims. The Greek there is the God, not a God. John 1, 1 through 3, as we said, John 1, 27, and John 1, 30. I think in those verses it was Yohanan HaMatbil, that is in Hebrew John the Baptist. He too knew about the pre-existence of Messiah when he said, he who comes after me, this is John the Baptist saying this, he who comes after me existed before me, for he was before me. So there John the Baptist is stating that even though Even though John the Baptist, and you can check this out in the New Testament, was born some 6 months before the human Jesus was born, Jesus nonetheless existed as God before John was born. So John the Baptist was given revelation concerning the pre-existence of the Messiah, Jesus, whose way he was called to prepare Israel to receive. Micah 5:2 again. John 17. Also John 6:38-57. John 8, verses 28, 38, and 58. Messiah existed before he was born. Messiah existed as the eternal God, specifically in the Trinity, within the economy of the Trinity, God the Son, before he was born a man. This is what the scriptures clearly teach on this vital subject. So the Messiah would be have eternity of being. He would pre-exist before he came to earth. And his existence is not contingent. That is, it does not externally rely on something or someone else. Since the Messiah is God Almighty and therefore eternal, pre-existed before he became a man, he is also self-existent. The Messiah, the scripture teaches us, was and is self-existent. Meaning that the Son existed with the Father and the Holy Spirit. The Son is the life source and has power to give eternal life to all who believe. Jesus does not give eternal life so much as he is eternal life. When you accept Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, you have eternal life. This means that he has the power of endless life within himself. It is not dependent upon anything or anyone outside of himself. It is self-generating. And he, Messiah, Jesus Christ, lives in the power of an endless life. Again, such a phenomena as this only could apply to the self-existent God. I believe it's in John 5, Jesus talks about his self-existence, saying that even as the Father has life in himself, so the Son has life within himself. John 5, 21 through 26. And Hebrews 7, 16. 1 John 5, 11 and 12. He that has the Son, John says in that passage of 1 John 5, he that has the Son has life, eternal life. So the Lord Jesus is the self-existent one. He is the source of life. Life has no ending in him. He always is life, alive, and so forth. Again, you cannot say this of any other human being. To do so, of course, would be blasphemous. But with the incarnation of Messiah Jesus, he is not only God but man, and yet he is self-existent. Then when you look at the panoply of Scripture, Old and New Testament Scriptures, you will see that the deity of the Messiah unfolds. It is an obvious truth that the most blind would have the audacity to deny. And yet they do. Even in the face of the patent evidence that's so obvious in Scripture affirming the deity of Christ, the deity of Messiah. What are some of those Scriptures that bear testimony to the deity of Christ? Well, first, Messiah, Jesus, existed in the beginning as the Word. We've said that over and over again in here. John 1:1, Philippians 2:6, he was equal with God. Jesus the Messiah was with God from eternity past. John 1:1, and you could also cite John 17, portions of Proverbs 8. God, the Son, personifying divine wisdom, was with God before creation itself was executed or done. Jesus the Messiah is God the Son. He is called the Son of the Father, the only unique Son. Now, wait a minute. This is where some of those in Judaism would reject this teaching, because they will say, well, all of us are children of God. Technically, that's correct. We are all children of God through creation, but we are not... all of us are not sons and daughters of God when it comes to salvation. We have to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit then regenerates us, gives us a new nature after the moral image of Jesus, and then we become adopted heirs, sons and daughters, into God's family. The reason why Jesus is the one and only unique Son is because He alone bears the divine image of God in full measure. Because He is God, revealed in human flesh. So, Jesus is called the Son of God. John 3, particularly, and Romans 9, 5, Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 10, and so forth. The Bible tells us that Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16. Great is the mystery of godliness. God manifest in the flesh. John 20:28. I believe that's where Thomas confesses Jesus to be Lord and God. Paul says in Colossians 2:9 that in Jesus the fullness of deity dwells. Hebrews 1:8 tells us that Jesus is the exact expression of God. So all of these passages clearly denote that Jesus was God in the flesh. In the Old Testament, the Messiah is called the Mighty God, Isaiah 9:6. Psalm 45:6 as well. Messiah also is called God with us. Emmanuel is a name that denotes the reality that when Messiah Jesus came as God in the flesh, that means He is God with us. Isaiah 7:14 and Matthew 1:23 in the New Testament, citing the fulfillment in the birth of the God-man Jesus. Jesus is called the Word made flesh, the divine Word made flesh, John 1:14 through 18. Messiah is also called the true God, 1 John 5:20, Romans 9:5, Titus 2:13. Not only that, He is the great God and Savior, Titus 2:13 again, and we should add 2 Peter 1:1. Jesus the Messiah also existed in the form of God before His incarnation, before He came to earth as a man, and Messiah was equal with God the Father. We looked at Philippians 2, remember? 6 through 8. I'm sorry, 5 through 8. Philippians 2, 5 through 8. And Jude 25 calls the Messiah Jesus the only wise God. So these are just some of many passages in the Bible where it is the deity of Messiah is clearly affirmed. And it is a necessary belief to be saved. Why is that? Because you have to believe in the right and true identity of who Jesus is. If you do not believe He is God Almighty, then you do not believe in the correct Jesus, the one that God has revealed through His Word. Now we turn to those attributes that belong to God alone. And if Jesus the Messiah is God Almighty, He too will share in those attributes. And you would thus expect that the New Testament writers who say Jesus is God would then also say that He had these same attributes that God alone has. We've mentioned them before, These attributes are incommunicable attributes that belong to God Almighty alone, attributes that He does, that is not shared with anyone else. They make Him infinitely alone and supreme as God. Well, one of those attributes is omnipotence, that is, possessing all power. All power. And what do you know? In the Word of God, we see that Jesus the Messiah, God's Son, is also said to be all-powerful. Again, time does not allow us to go through each of these scriptures, but we will cite them for you. Jesus is called the Creator and Sustainer of the universe of worlds. Colossians 1:17. John 1, 3, and verse 10. 1 Corinthians 8, 6, Revelation 3, 14. Hebrews 1, 10, and Ephesians 3, 9. So, being God in the flesh and therefore possessing omnipotence, Jesus has power in heaven and on earth. Matthew 28, 18. Jesus has power, has all power in earth. John 17, 2. Jesus also expressed His omnipotence over the elements of nature. For instance, when He stilled the stormy waters of the Kinneret. What? It's called the Kinneret today, but in the New Testament it's called the Sea of Galilee. Matthew 8, 23 through 27. Jesus has power over the spiritual realm. He possesses power over all the spiritual realm, particularly with the Satan and his demonic hosts. He had power to bind them, shut them up, and cast them out of people in whom they possessed. Luke 4, 35 through 41. By the way, this is not an exhaustive list of the scriptures. These scriptures are sample quotations from several verses in the New Testament that teach Messiah's omnipotence. Jesus, as the omnipotent Christ, has power over all the angelic hosts, not only the fallen angels, but the elect angels as well. 1 Peter 3:22, Ephesians 1:20-22, and I might add Revelation chapter 6 through 19, when the angels pour out the 21 apocalyptic judgments on the world, they do so under the command and control of Messiah Jesus. And Hebrews 1:3 tells us the Messiah has power over all things. He is the commander-in-chief of existence itself. No other person claims or has this power, but the Son, in sharing sharing power with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Jesus is omniscient. He is all-knowing as to His deity. Nothing is hidden from His sight. This was proven through and through in Jesus' time on earth. He was able to predict accurately and specifically what things would happen in His own life, what people would do, and so forth. John 2:24-25, Colossians 2:3, John 14:16-19, and John 21:17, Hebrews 4:12-13, Revelation 2:23. Jesus is all knowing as to His deity. And lastly, Jesus is omnipresent. He's omnipotent, He's all powerful, He is omniscient, He knows all things, and He is also omnipresent, that is, the Son of God is present at all times. Because Jesus Christ is omnipresent as God Almighty, He is able to gather with His people wherever they meet in His name. Where two or three are gathered together in My name, He said in Matthew 18:20, there am I in the midst of them. When the church was given when the church was given their commission for the present age of taking the gospel throughout the world, Jesus told them that they would be able to do so because His presence would be with them. Matthew 28:20, Lo, I am with you always, he says to the church, until the end of the age. For this reason, the Lord could say he was in heaven as well as on earth. He told Nicodemus that in John 3. Let me quickly, we can go to one of the most ignored verses, but it's there, and it clearly affirms Jesus being both in heaven and on earth. He says to Nicodemus here in John 3:12, if I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Verse 13, no one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man, who is in heaven. So he's both on earth and in heaven. Why? Because Messiah Jesus is omnipresent. He's present everywhere. He's present in our troubles, in our afflictions, in our trials. And he is there to intercede for us and give us strength to persevere through. All that God is, so Christ is, because Christ Jesus is God. Well, I see I'm out of time. Until next time, Shalom, Yeshua HaMashiach Alechem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.